Let's turn again this morning in our Bibles, please, to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6. We're continuing our study here in the life of Gideon. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We're breaking into the chapter this morning at verse number 33. Judges chapter 6, verse number 33. Judges 6, verse 33. Let us hear the word of God. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. We'll end our reading there, and we know that God will bless the public reading of His Word to every heart. Let us just unite again our hearts in prayer. Let us all pray at this juncture. Let's seek the Lord's face and pray that God will come and bless every heart gathered here before Him. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, the quietness of this meeting house, we draw near to God in prayer. We come to Thee in Jesus' name, and by His holy blood. How we thank Thee for the blood that brings us right nigh to God. We who were once afar off are brought nigh by the blood of Christ, and we rejoice in our standing in Him. We rejoice in what we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we come to Thee now, and we pray, O God, that You'll draw near, and You'll answer prayer. Shut us in with Thee for a season. Lord, bind the devil. O God, bind him, we pray. I confess my great inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. O God, grant divine unction. O God, grant divine power. May this meeting tell for eternity. Answer prayer, we ask in Jesus' name, and we'll give Thee all the glory for Christ's sake. Amen. The last Sabbath morning I was here, and we were in this study of the life of Gideon. We looked together at verse 33 and 34. Let us just remind ourselves of what we saw that morning. Then all the Midianites, look at the verses with me, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. We looked that morning at our valley experiences and how we need to be so careful in the valley. The devil will come. He'll come into that valley. He'll bring strong temptation. When you're discouraged, when you're going through difficulties, you can be 100% sure the unmerciful fiend of hell will not show mercy. He will come with all his venom. He will come with all his wiles. He'll come with all his guile. And he will bring temptation after temptation against you in the valley. He knows you're vulnerable. He knows when you're there that you're down, and that is when he will seek to launch his attack. However, in verse number 34, we read these blessed words, but, what a contrast, the enemy has come in verse 33,
They pitch in the valley of Jezreel. Dare enter that valley. You meet the enemy head on. But verse 34 says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, came upon Gideon, with the enemy pitched in the valley. And it's been a subject in this church this few weeks, the subject of the Holy Ghost and his movings. And we need to be praying about that, as we saw that morning, that the Lord will fill us, that the Lord will grant us that unction, that power. It was the key to the very portion. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Who's against him? Look again with me at 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites. There's the old foe, the Amalekites. Many of you know, will not turn to it. But in Exodus 17, when Israel come out of Egypt, they had no water, and they're coming out of Egypt, and Moses is told to bring water from the rock. At that moment, the Amalekites come. And make no mistake about it, dear people, they came to destroy Israel. Be not mistaken whatsoever. They came to wipe them out at the moment of weakness. Israel had no water. You can't live in a desert without water. And when they're weak, Amalek seizes the opportunity. Amalek in Scripture always refers to the flesh. That is why God said through Moses, I will war with Amalek forever. And we all know that. The war of the believer is always against the flesh. The Spirit of God warreth with the flesh continually. And Amalek is symbolic of the flesh. And God said through Moses, I will war with Amalek forever. Forever. And we all know of that battle, don't we? Within our own souls, as the flesh rages, and the Spirit wars with the flesh, and they lust the one against the other. And Amalek, here they are against Joshua, make no mistake about it, as they did in Exodus 17, seeking to wipe out Israel, so they do again here. They're in for the kill. They're in to destroy them. Dear people, in your valley experiences, and I say this to myself as well as to you, watch the flesh. It's the time when we can react wrong. It's the time when there can be a reaction that's hard to retract. And the devil knows that. And when we're weak and we're down, the flesh will come raging in. Be careful in our valley experiences. So the Amalekites are here. Who else is here? Midianites are here. That speaks of those that oppress Israel. And many of us know what that's like. Going through the oppression. Feel we're getting nowhere. The old oppression of the devil against her soul. It's all symbolic in these words. The Ishmaelites are here. That's the men of the east. They've come against Israel. They've come against Gideon. They've come against the cause of truth. Because remember, that's what it was. Whoever man, whatever man of God you care to look at in the Old Testament, as they faced the battle, as they faced the trial, the battle was for truth. The battle was for the cause of Christ. It was for the truth of the gospel. That is always what it has been against. And as I said the last Sunday morning, I spoke on this. Be it Philistines, Amalekites, Midianites, Ishmaelites, whateverite you want to mention in the Bible, when they came against Israel, just right Satan. Just right Satan. He's behind it. He's coming. And he comes to wipe out and destroy the cause of Christ. But Gideon, being clothed by the armor sent from heaven, being clothed by the mantle of the Holy Ghost, is now getting ready for the greatest battle of his ministry thus far. You see, always remember, folks, when God called Gideon in Judges 6, verse 12, this battle was in the mind of God. This battle was in the mind of God. Let me explain something. We as mere mortals only see things as they develop. It is not so with God. God knows the end from the beginning. And dear people, be encouraged this morning, because every word you've ever said for Christ, every good deed you've ever sought to do for the Lord, every victory won, everything you've sought to say a word for the Savior at work or at school or wherever you are, saying a word for the Lord, understand, divine appointments are all ordained by God. It was the very reason God saved you. It didn't just happen. You talking to your workmate beside the machine didn't just happen. God ordained it before the world began. And in Judges 6, verse 12, when God called Gideon, this battle was in the mind of God. This battle was in his mind, ordained by God. God knows the battles which lie ahead, every man and every individual. And here's where we break into the chapter this morning. The Holy Ghost has come upon Gideon. The enemy has pitched their standards in the valley of Jezreel. The scene is set. The enemy is baying for blood. The powers of darkness fill the air. Make no mistake. They're all around waiting for the battle to be set in action. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. We have the Spirit of God upon him. He sounds the trumpet. Verse 34, and Abiezer was gathered unto him. He sounds the trumpet. He sends messages around Manasseh and Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali. They obey the call. And they come to aid in the great battle. And with everyone joined to Gideon, Gideon gets before God. It's a portion that we know as Gideon's fleece. Many a time we have set out what we call Gideon's fleece. We have been praying for direction. And we've been asking the Lord to guide us. And that's what I want to speak on this morning, taken really from verse number 34, or verse 36 down to the end of the chapter. Moving on into this morning, I want to speak on the night Gideon put out the fleece. The night Gideon put out the fleece. You see, what was Gideon wanting when he put out that fleece? He was needing direction. He was wanting assurance. He was needing a word from the Lord. Now, the background to the request of this fleece, we've already looked at it. The land's invaded, spiritually so. The enemy has set up camp in the valley of Jezreel. The Spirit of God has come upon Gideon. The trumpets sound. There's a rallying call. But into Gideon's heart comes this remembrance of his call. Because look what he says when he gets before God in verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, now the man of God's before God. He's in prayer. And it could just be that in this meeting this morning, there's one here and you have been praying about something, seeking guidance, seeking light, seeking direction, not sure what way to turn. Well, you're doing the right thing. You're before God. And Gideon has got before God. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Gideon gets before God to pray over what God has already told him. The light is already had. What had God said to Gideon? What, look at the key phrase there in verse 34 or verse 36. As thou hast said. What did God say to him? Go back to chapter 6, verse 14. Go back to verse 14 with me. Here's the call. Here's where it all began. Chapter 6, 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? The thought being, in verse number 14, the fact I have called you, Gideon, means you will have success in this enterprise. The key phrase in verse 14 is, have not I sent thee? You see, if Gideon had just took this notion into his head, to go out against the Midianites, to be this soldier, to go out and seek to deliver Israel, Gideon could in no way guarantee himself any success in this battle. The key to the battle is this. God has sent Gideon into the battle. It's the very moment that Gideon was called for. Have not I sent thee? Like Abraham's servant, being in the way the Lord led me, as he went to get a bride for Isaac, being in the way the Lord sent me. And here's Gideon, he's before God, he's praying over the situation, but he can say to the Lord, Lord, I'm in the way you've led me. And the Lord can say to Gideon, have not I sent thee, Gideon? This whole battle is of me. Yes, Gideon, if you just took this upon yourself, well, there's absolutely no guarantee of success. But when the whole thing's of me, Gideon, the Lord said, I'm telling you, Gideon, you will deliver the people out of the hand of the Midianites. And the reason you'll do it is because I've sent you to do it. And I'll equip you to do it. And I'll help you to do it. And dear man or woman in this meeting this morning, whatever position you're in for the Lord, Sunday school teacher, youth worker, children's worker, Bible class teacher, committee, elder, whatever you do for the Lord, wherever your realm is, and you seek to go on with God, God will grant you success because He's called you to it. He has brought you to it. He's brought you into that line of, oh yes, if it had just been of you, well, there's no guarantee of success there. But God says, have not I sent thee? And now in verse 33 of Judges 6, the Midianites have come. And Gideon puts two and two together. And he sees this is the moment. He looks at the situation providentially. He remembers his call. He sees this is the moment. This is the moment that God has called me for. You see, the situation with the altar and the idol in his father's house, that was his training, if you like. That was his training. The altar and the idol in the father's house was not the Midianites. That was getting him ready for the Midianites. God has led his dear servant. He's brought him through that situation, the father's house. It was preparation for the Midianites to come. But since God has said Gideon would deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites, this moment had to arrive. This moment had to arrive. This challenge in Gideon's ministry, it had to come. And when it comes, he gets before God. He knows it just hasn't happened. He knows it just hasn't happened. The world hasn't spiraled out of control. He knows it's all in the hands of God. And dear believer, whatever situation you're in this morning, wherever this meeting finds you, Sunday morning, 20th October, 2013, your world is not spiraling out of control. You may feel it is at times, but it's not. God's in control of it. And you can get before God on that basis. You can say, God, lead me. Guide me. I need your guidance. That's what Gideon does here. He gets before God. In verse number 36, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. The reason he prayed, guidance. In the original Hebrew, verse 36 just reads like this. If thou art saving Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold I putting, or behold I laying a fleece. Gideon's before God. He's received his call. He's told what that call's all about. He's to go out against the Midianites. And I feel here, at this first supplication of God's throne, that Gideon is drawing near. He's seeking confirmation that this is the moment. That he's not to hold back. That this is the moment that he was called for. That he's to go forward. That he's to go out to face these Midianites. But it's also for another reason. It's for the encouragement of those men that have just joined themselves to them. Because look what he prayed in verse 37. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Gideon is asking for a sign. He's asking for a sign that God is leading him, that this is the moment, that he's not to wait for another one. This is the moment. Midianites have come. And look what he says at the end of his prayer, verse 37, the very last line, as thou hast said. He continually reminds God as he comes before God, Lord, I'm here because you have called me. I'm in the way that the Lord leads. And dear believer, there's the way to get before the Lord for your guidance. Father, I am thy child. I am thy child by election. I am thy child by thy grace alone. Thou hast redeemed me. Thou hast called me by my name. I am thine. Now, Father, guide me. Guide me. I want you to notice how he prays. Look at the little word, verse 37, behold. The verse would have made as much sense without that word, behold. And when you see that, always stop, because there's something you need to see there. Behold, again, it would have made as much sense. He could just have said, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and the same thing would have happened, and it would have been the same prayer. But the little word, behold, is added. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. Dear people, where did he get the fleece? A lamb had to be taken, and the fleece had to be removed, and the lamb would have been slain. And as he prayed over the blood and drew near to God by the sacrifice, he would have laid out that fleece before God and pleaded the promises of God before his Father. Have not thou called me? Hast thou not called me? Gideon gets before God. He draws near. He prays over the whole situation. And at the end of the prayer, he records those words, as thou hast said. But look what happened. Verse 38, we've got to keep moving here. And it was so. He didn't forget about his prayer. It was so. He rose up early in the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. God answered the prayer. God did exactly what Gideon asked. He gave him a sign. He gave him a sign. But men and women, I want you to understand something. What a sign he gave Gideon. Why did Gideon put that water in a bowl? He put that water in the bowl that he might show it to the people. What did that tell the people? It told the people that God was with them. It told the people that God was hearing their prayers. It told the people that the battle ahead was of God. And dear believer, whatever battle and trial awaits you, you understand that God is with you through it. Don't rush over those words, a bowl of water. That bowl of water sent an army into battle. That bowl of water was the very evidence that Jehovah was still working, was still with his people. Go with me to Exodus or to Judges chapter 6, verse 14. Go back there. Here's Gideon in prayer again. In fact, look at 13. Judges 6:13. And Gideon said unto him, that's unto the Lord, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivers us into the hand of the Midianites. Gideon looks back to movings of God in days previous, what he had heard from his fathers, and he says, it's all gone. It's all gone. That bowl of water proved it wasn't all gone. That bowl of water proved God was still with them. God was still building his church. And men and women, I'm guilty of it. Looking back, saying, where's the great things that used to happen? And there were great things happening. But that bowl of water told Israel there'd be great things happening again, because God was still with them. God was answering their prayers. God was hearing them. God was hearing them. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And look with me at verse number 12. I want you to see something here. Judges 6, or John chapter 6, verse 12. You know the story, the feeding of the 5,000. And the Lord has fed them. And look what he said. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples,
Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. They're all fed. They're all filled. Christ says, gather up the crumbs. Don't despise the crumbs, because they too came from God. And Christ tells them, gather them as well. Men and women, do not lose what God gives you. No matter how small a token it may be, we're seeing here in John 6, verse 12, he says to the disciples, gather up the crumbs. Sure, it's only crumbs. God gave the crumbs. God gave those crumbs. God made it. He made bread. He fed the 5,000. And when they were filled, they were not to despise the crumbs that were left over. Christ says, gather those up. Men and women, when God blesses you, when God answers your prayers, you write it down. You get a wee diary and you mark it down. God heard me today. God answered my prayer. I tell you, it'll comfort you. While they carried those crumbs about that they lifted in John chapter 6, there was that glorious reminder of what Christ did in their midst. And that bowl of water sent that army into battle. Oh, it was only a bowl of water. But what a sermon was in that bowl of water. What a sermon was in it. There's great days ahead, Gideon. I'm with you. I'm answering your prayers, Gideon. Turn to the 23rd Psalm, the Psalm we all love. Psalm number 23. Verse number 4. Look with me there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I heard a preacher preaching that one night. It's not my thought, but it's absolutely marvelous. How does the rod and staff comfort the child of God? The thought is this. In Israel, those Jews, as they pilgrim through this life, the men of God, the woman of God, when God blessed them, they took their rod and they put a mark in it. That would remind them all their days of that blessing. And when God blessed again and answered prayer again, they would mark the staff again. And as they drew near to death, they could say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They weren't to forget what God had done for them. And dear believer in this place, I suggest this. It'd be good for us all to take a diary and mark her. Mark her when the blessing comes. John 6 tells us the Lord was teaching them, you gather those crumbs up. Those crumbs came from the hand of God. And men and women, every blessing we have comes from the hand of God. That bowl of water, as I have said, sent an army into battle. It told them that God was with them. It told them that God was answering their prayers. What a token. God was giving them the victory. Let's apply it. Last Sunday night in this place, I wasn't here, I was in Antrim. I heard about it. Packed out. Children. Parents. Don't lose it. That's our bowl of water. God heard us. God heard our prayers. That children's week. Don't lose it. That's our bowl of water. God heard prayer.
brought multitudes of children from all around this town. Young Brian Lorimer going to Bible college. Don't lose it. God's raising up preachers. Those are our bowls of water, men and women. Donegaran Mission. Two souls saved. Don't lose it. What does it tell us? It tells us God is hearing us. It tells us God is with us. It tells us there's great days ahead. Oh, a bowl of water. A bowl of water that sent an army into battle. That's exactly what it did. How do we know that? Look at chapter 7. Go back with me to Judges 6. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbabel, who's Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod. Men and women, a bowl of water. A token from God. Stirred up the people and into battle they went. Now let's go back to the portion. Look at verse 39 with me. There's encouragement here for us. Because you know, every one of us are weak of faith. Every one of us are full of unbelief. We're dogged by it. Every one of us. But look at verse 39. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. And in other words, and oh Lord, I shouldn't be asking again. But I am asking again. Because Gideon was but a man. Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. He asked for one more. It was the sign of weak faith, and everyone would ask for one more. But look what the Lord does. He doesn't chide him. Verse 40, and God did so that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. God doesn't break the bruised reed. He strengthens it. He strengthens Gideon's faith here. God answered in spite of him. What's the application of this point about guidance? Dear people, I want you to understand something. God has covenanted to guide you to glory. He has promised you to be guided to glory. Turn with me to the 73rd Psalm. Because there is no Christian that doesn't need guidance at times, doesn't need to pray about things, doesn't need to seek God and ask the Lord to guide us. Gideon knew when he came to the Lord here, Israel had faced critical moments before. Earlier on in the chapter, he spoke about the Red Sea. He brings that to his remembrance. Lord, you led them. Lead me. And maybe you're here this morning, dear believer, and you're seeking guidance. And you're asking the Lord to guide you. Look at verse chapter 73, Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. A promise of guidance. Where to? Right over death. Dear believer, I want you to understand this. That all your days in this pilgrimage, you can go to God, you can get to the Lord, and He has promised to guide, He has promised to lead you. Could I be speaking to one this morning? And like Gideon, you're just looking confirmation on a matter, on an issue. You know God has been speaking, you know God has been leading. Well, my dear friend, you can continually go to God with that because God has covenanted, God has promised, God who cannot lie has promised you He will guide you to heaven. The whole journey, He'll guide you with His counsel and afterward receive you to glory. But you've got to do what Gideon did. You've got to pray and then watch for the answer. Gideon was up early the next morning out to check the fleece. And that's what you've got to do, wait in God. But God has covenanted, dear people, to guide you. Trust in the Lord. You all can see these words after me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Just set aside what you think a minute.
In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge you need guidance. Acknowledge we're all up to go the wrong way. But acknowledge that God has covenanted to guide you the whole way. And afterward, to receive you to glory. Acknowledge that, and he will direct your path. You see, the guidance of God, dear people, it's bound up in who God is. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says this, I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, I change not. God has bound himself to guide you. It's bound up in his immutability. That means God cannot change. God never changes. God did not guide you yesterday, dear believer, and will not guide you forever. He has covenanted. He's God. God has covenanted to guide you right to heaven. His immutability tells you that he will guide you the whole way. Just as he loved you yesterday, he loves you today, he loves you forever. So he who guided you yesterday will guide you today and will guide you forever. And he who in his infinite wisdom says to his church, seek my face. I tell you, friend, when you seek his face for guidance, he will guide you. You can get before God and say, I need guidance in this matter. I need this issue dealt with. I don't know what to do. And dear people, you can rest assured God will guide. You may have to wait on it, but God will guide. Turn to Isaiah 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. When you tie this in with Psalm 73, Psalm 73 says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. No doubt about it. God will give the counsel. But tie it in with Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of a servant? So we're talking about a Christian. We're talking about a believer here that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. What does that mean? Trust in the name of the Lord. Stay upon his God. Trust in who he is. That he has bound himself to guide you the whole way to heaven. And to heaven he will guide you. And wait on him. Stay upon your God. Don't do anything until you're sure. Because God will give the light. He has bound himself. Could there be one this morning seeking guidance? Dear believer, take this word to your heart. Go and pray over it. God has bound himself to guide you right to heaven. He's not going to change. He will guide you. The blood of Christ guarantees that. What a prayer. Gideon prayed. What an answer he got. But let's apply it another way. That's applied positively. God will guide. What about negatively? How do we apply the fleece negatively? There are some things need no prayer. There are some things that are already as clear as crystal. There are some things that nobody needs to bow their head and pray about. And dear believer, let me just go over this with a wide brush. If what you're praying about is contrary to that book, stop praying. It's already answered. God will never guide you and lead you in a way that that book forbids. Never. Gideon could put out the fleece because he was in the way that the Lord led him. God will never guide you into sin. Never. He'll never guide you into that which grieves the Holy Ghost. There's some situations in life require no flesh. They just require obedience. Gideon's fleece tells us all that. But dear people, Gideon's fleece sent a battle, an army, into battle. As I close, look at verse 1 again of chapter 7. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early. A bowl of water. A token from God stirred that whole army that God was working, that God was going to give a greater victory. The only victory Gideon had before that was the altar and the idol. He pulled them down. That was his wee test. He's now going out to face an army. Dear people, spiritually our land is overrun. But God's tokens for good assure us that God hears us, that God is with us, that God will give the victory. And we must pray to that end. Now, let me say something here in closing. What of you this morning in this meeting that aren't saved? Does the fleece have a message for you? It certainly does. Because that fleece reminds us of the lamb in which it was taken from. But dear sinner in this meeting, let me tell you of God's lamb. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Who upon that cross of Calvary died for sinners like you. And the question is this morning. What are you going to do with God's lamb? You see, you don't need to ask yourself the question, should I come to Christ? That doesn't need to be asked. The Bible says you should come right now. Repent, believe the gospel. And the Bible says, if you come to Christ right now, He will save you. He will forgive you. He will pardon you. He'll take all your sins away. And He will guide you with His counsel from that moment on. And afterward, receive you to glory. That's what we're talking about, men and women. We're not talking here about making some decision that makes little or no difference to anything. We're talking here on you coming to Christ, which is the difference between heaven and hell. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about your never dying soul. Dear unsaved friend, gaze upon the Lamb. Gaze upon the one that John the Baptist gazed upon in the Judean plains. As he preached there and the crowd were gathered and he lifted his eyes and he saw Christ coming. And he said, behold, just stop and look. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Sinner, behold Him this morning. Come to Him. Be saved right now. Yes, right this moment. Lift your heart to heaven right now and God will save you. He has promised. His bound is an immutability. He saves all that come. Come you right now. And He'll save you now. And may God give you grace to come. For His name's sake. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, take Thy word. Take all that's been of Thee.
Bless it to every heart. Take all that's been of the preacher, let it fall to the ground. O God, give thy people guidance in these days. We thank thee thou hast promised to guide us right to heaven. And O God, we pray you'll save the lost among us, restore the backslidden, and glorify your Son in all that's said and done. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.